Tommy appreciates your pastors. I'm telling you, I just got to meet them today, really and officially, and I have enjoyed every moment with these fine people. And I'm telling you, not very many places have people that love like they do. I watched him operate as a pastor tonight, and you know, he was kind of saying, here's what you can expect, and here's what might happen tonight. That's because he loves you. I've seen many things in just a day or so that I've been around him and Sister Donna, and they are pastors of a flock that they love. And I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the hospitality. I'm thankful for the invitation. And I'm thankful most of all for what God's about to do in this house. How many knows? I'm telling you, I know that I know that I know God's going to do something miraculous. God's going to do something powerful in this house tonight. Amen. Why do I know that? Because I walked into a house set. The stage was set. You know, they were here already worshiping. They were here already praying. They were here already plowing the land for you tonight to walk into and eat. And so God is going to move tonight. Amen. I know I got to do these things called preliminaries. I've been in this long enough that you're checking me out. I've already been checking y'all out. I really want to preach and I really want to do and obey what God has called me to do, but I know that we need to get a few little things out of the way. My name's Dana, and I'm from Berea, Kentucky, and we pastored for 28 years, y'all. 28 years. I know I started at 12. My husband is the pastor. I am not. I come under my husband, fully submitted, and I come tonight submitted under my husband and under the pastor of this house tonight, and I'm thankful to do so. Amen. Amen. I have the most amazing team that gets to travel. I get to travel with them, shall I say. And these women are amazing, and they have come to help. I couldn't keep them home. They would not stay home if I begged them to. They don't want to miss something God's doing. I'm telling you, I'll share with you a little bit what all God is doing, but I got tears on these. You wash those off before I stick them on. I'm telling you, God's been doing amazing. Just wash them off and come up here and introduce yourself, Brendan, pray. But I'm grateful to be here tonight all the way from Berea, Kentucky. There's a church called Church on the Rock that we pastor. They'll start service in about right now, 6 o'clock. And the pastor will already lead our congregation in prayer for you all tonight. We joined prayer with you all for what the church we were at last night and for what's going to happen tonight. So how many's glad to have that? Amen. This is Brenda. She's going to come up. She normally reads my scripture because I know how to read, but it saves my throat a little bit. And I believe in mentoring. Do you? I believe in noticing and seeing gifts in other people and giving them the opportunity. Listen, nobody let me stand behind a desk. Nobody gave me this opportunity. It was like God kicked me out of the nest and said, go, daughter, and do it. What a privilege it would have been to have somebody say, come on, you follow me, and I'll put you there and help you do what you need to do. So let her greet you tonight. This is our lead intercessor, Sister Brenda. She operates in such a powerful anointing. So here she is.
I just want to say that truly it is an honor to be here. Those who have heard me before know that I am a walking miracle. I believe in the healing power of the Holy Ghost, and I can stand before you tonight and tell you that God gave me a dream one time of these storms rolling in, but in this dream at the top there was blue skies, and I woke up and I said, God, I know that my greatest storm is just on the horizon, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to look for that blue. And soon after that I was diagnosed with an 8.3 brain aneurysm. A situation where the doctors told me that they had never seen anything like it. I was a most unusual case. They didn't even know how to treat me, sent me home. But long story short, the cerebral artery to the brain is blocked 100%. The blood does not flow through the cerebral artery. But I am known at University of Kentucky Hospital by some as the Miracle Lady. So I stand before you that God was my healer, and I rendered heaven, and he sent heaven my way. So I praise the Lord that I'm here tonight. So let's pray for Sister Dana, as the pastor's already prayed. But Just join with me. I thank you tonight, God, that you brought us here for this time. I know that your word is anointed, but I ask you, Lord, that you would add the increase to Sister Dana. She's your vessel of honor that you work through tonight, Father. We just call upon you, Lord. May you give her the anointing that would bring forth the giftings and callings that's placed upon her. I thank you, Father, and may there be no hindrance of your flow tonight, God. And we just pray, Father, we say that everything said and done will bring you glory and you honor, for we do not share in your glory and your honor, Father. So we just honor you tonight, and we give you praise in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So we thank you this night. Honor you, dear Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. I'm telling you, we've been in a place of worship. Pastor, I didn't even want to get up here. That worship was so good. I'm telling you, don't take for granted what you have here. And I'm going to tell you what happened, Pastor, and I really don't care if you believe it or not, because you're going to just believe it. I went for a walk after we went to eat. I went for a walk to pray and kind of just say, God, I need a word for those people. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will not do a thing. I will not say a thing that is in me, because I'm the one that stands accountable for such as that. But I said, God, if you've got something to say about this place, Father, drop it in my spirit. I went back to the room and I looked at Brenda and I said, I heard the word fallow ground. And when I walked into this building, and the atmosphere of worship was already set, and I heard what the pastor opened up with, I said, my God, you're so good. You're so good. And here's what the Lord began to drop in my spirit. He said, this is a place of fallow ground. This is a place of fallow ground. It's a ground that has laid dormant. There's a land that has been prepared, and a land that has had seeds planted in it, but it's a land that has been laying wait, the Lord said. And I believe that as I began to stand there and into a place of worship, the Lord began to speak into my spirit. And he says, I'm calling this place a house of revival. He said, I'm calling this place a house of revival, but they will say, but we are different. They will say that we are different. Revival has come to others, but we're different, is what they will say. And I believe that there's been much rejection. I believe there's been much comparison. I believe there's been many times that this, as a body of people, as you have evolved, have not been the chosen ones, as many would call. But God tonight says, unto this house, it will be a house of revival. You see, God is going to use the unlikely in the last days. Amen. He's not going to use the familiar in the last days, because here's the problem. The familiar has become the ones that takes the glory. Amen. 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 The Lord says, I am coming to break up the fallow ground. And the Lord said, there has been seeds planted over the years. Seeds that have been met with fasting, and seeds that have been met with prayers. And yes, there have been birds of the prey and the birds of the air that have come, and they have plucked up some dreams, and they have plucked up some visions, and they plucked up some hopes. But know this, says God, that the seed that was planted was overlooked by me. And he said, no fowl of the air shall touch what is mine. Meet me in prayer and meet me with fasting, Pastor. There shall be a season that you walk into very soon, that it will be a season that you will lead, and you may not have even stepped into this territory before, but it will be a season of depth of the Spirit. A season of fasting, a season of prayer, and there may be some that fall to the wayside. But God said, as you come to me in fasting and prayer, he said, I will be a God of the germinated seed, of the fallow ground that I will break up in due season. And as I call this house a house of revival, you will see in amazement what I can do. Do not look on to the naysayers. Do not listen to the words that is in your mind of comparison, for I am a God of resolution. I am a God of restoration. Trust me, says God, for I am about to do a new thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you all receive that word? Can you really receive that word? Because I'm telling you, I feel revival. As I stood there and I felt the Lord speak, this will be house revival. But they will say, we're different. That's okay, be different. But be a people that seeks the face of God. Listen, this land, this community, we've drove up and down these roads for the last few days. This community needs revival. This community's desperate. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's going on in this area, but there's something going on. But there's coming a breaking, and you guys are going to be a part of it. I love that you're different. I love it. The worship's phenomenal. The pastoralship's amazing. I'm telling you, there's probably helps and labors in this house that you feel like that you're not even doing anything important. I'm telling you, put your hand to the plow and keep on, because what you're doing is significant. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. What about that, Pastor? Thank you, Jesus. I just couldn't believe you said fallow ground when we walked in here. I even had Mr. Steve go get a broom because I thought, well, we're going to break up the fallow ground, but it's not up to us to break it up. As I stood there longer, I heard the Lord saying what he was going to do. See, I said, go get a broom, Mr. Steve. Where's Mr. Steve at? Where's Mr. Steve? Mr. Steve went and got a broom. And I thought that I was going to have the pastor and his wife walk and just break up the ground. But it's not us to break it up. It's going to break up in the spirit realm. Amen. 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 I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for what God is going to do in this house. I'm thankful for you all being here. Are you ready for the word? You know, I go places and I don't like a bunch of emotionalism. I really don't. I have preacher friends that all they do is get up and scream and stomp and run and people, woo, let's get them back. But I leave and I go, where was the word? I want to eat. I want to eat. Amen? I could scream all day long by myself. I've never said this in a public atmosphere, have I, girls? This is when I go to the room and fuss and whine about, where was the word? But we're going to go to the word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Get me out of the way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're going to do, Father. First Chronicles 26. First Chronicles 26. Thanks again for having us here tonight. I hope I get to come back one day just to be in this place. First Chronicles 26, sometimes we have to dig a little bit deeper to break down the word, to understand the word. I have a feeling that your pastor is a teacher and he breaks the word down phenomenally in this house, right? And sometimes we just got to wait and we got to study a little bit. So tonight I'm only going to read one verse, verse 27. And we're going to preach a message out of verse 27. It says, out of the spoils won in the battles, did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord? Let me say that again. Out of the spoils won in battles, did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord? The worship leader was singing songs that confirmed this message tonight. So I know that this is a message for this house. This verse opens up a very profound truth to us as believers. I'm going to try to take it slow. Sometimes they say I come out of the gate too fast. We are from Kentucky and horses, but anyway. This verse opens up a profound truth to us as believers as to why God allows us to go through spiritual battles. Now, is there anybody in this room that can say, Sister Dana, I am going through a spiritual battle? I knew it. Thank you, Jesus. He knew it. Has anyone ever going through something asked, why God? Have you ever asked, why God? Why am I going through this? God, are you angry with me? Have I failed you somewhere? Have we ever asked, Is it the enemy? Why is he attacking me? Or could it be something that God is allowing in our lives? Now, Sister Dana, that's not what I want to hear. That's not what I want you to preach. I don't I don't want you to be talking like that. We don't want to hear. We want to blame everything on the enemy. How could it be that God is allowing a battle in my life? In the Word, God wants us to understand that as long as we live, we're going to have battles. Amen? As long as there's breath in our lungs, as long as we're believers, we will have spiritual battles or conflicts till Jesus comes back. I'm sorry to burst your bubble that once you get saved, it is not all easy. Amen? But let me take us to a story to confirm what this message is going to be about. In Genesis 14, we can read in the story, and if we read the chapter, the story gives a picture of this verse that I talked about in 1 Chronicles 26. It's the story of Abraham and Lot, and 9 kings came together united that advanced on Sodom and Gomorrah. And they took everything in the city, and the Bible says that they spoiled the city. And the word came to Abraham, and they said, everybody in Sodom is captured, even Lot. And we know that he loved Lot. So Abraham had something. He had 318 men who were skilled in war. And he said, go gather them. It's time to go to war. And he said that he and the servants went, and they did battle. And the Bible says they recovered everything that was taken from the battle. Amen. But in verse 16, and he, Abraham, who had spoiled the enemy, brought back all the goods, he brought back all the people, and he brought back Lot. And in verse 23, he says this, Abraham looks at the king, the one that he had been fighting for, and he says, when he came out to meet him, Abraham said, I'm going to give you everything back that we just spoiled from the enemy. He said, I don't even want a shoelace. How about that now? I don't even want a shoelace. But he said this, but I am keeping the spoil for myself. It's my loot, he said. He said, it's the very things that we went to battle for. You can have, but the extra, it's the extra from the battle. This stuff I'm going to keep for myself. And then Abraham went to the priest Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the one in charge of keeping up the temple. And he gives a tenth of his spoils back to the priesthood. Let me teach for a minute. Stick with me, all right? We'll preach in a minute, but let me teach right now. And why he did this, why Abraham did this, he was showing that the spoils that came out of the battle were for maintaining the house of God. Now, do you see how that relates to 1 Chronicles, the chapter that we read, the verse that we read? But when you fight, come on, you said I'm fighting battles in this house, didn't you? I've come to tell you tonight, when you fight battles, God does not want you to come out just a survivor. I'm so tired of that mentality. Well, I made it through, hallelujah. Well, I made it through that one till the next one comes. I'm telling you tonight, God doesn't want you just to be survivors. Amen. God doesn't want you to come out and just say, well, thank you, Jesus. But I'm telling you, he wants you to come out with some loot. He wants you to come out with some spoils. He wants you to come out with some stuff. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, somebody's going to get happy in this house because you're going to get a revelation. Because you're in it, you're going to come out of it, but you're going to come out with some spoils. Amen. Amen. Romans 8 and 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're not just overcomers. Come on, amen. We're not just warriors, no matter what you think. But the Bible says we are more than. That tells me this, that there is more to gain. So I want you to look to somebody on your right and look somebody on your left and tell them, I'm in it for the spoils. Come on, I'm in it for the spoils. Do you believe it? Now, when I walked into the house and I asked you, are you in a battle? You raised your head and you said, I'm in the battle. But now do you realize you're not just in a battle? You're in it for the spoils. Amen. Get a new way of thinking about it. I want to go back to our original text. It says, out of the spoils won in the battle, did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord? This is one of the very last acts that King David did. He had already set up his son Solomon the king as king of over Israel, and he's setting up a ministry for the house of the Lord. And David is the one who appointed the order. Do we know the story? He's the one that accumulated the building supplies. David is the one who had the blueprint laid out, but he wasn't allowed to touch the building. He wasn't allowed to put it together because David was a man of war and there was blood on his hands. And this was one of the very last acts that David could do. But look, in the previous chapters, David is telling them how to do it. Amen. And the Bible tells us there was a treasury set up for the building of the house of God. Just hold with me, folks. But then the scripture says that David, out of his own personal spoils, the ones that he had accumulated in the battles for years, David said, what I'm going to dedicate, come on, think about this. Go back into the Bible with me. What I'm going to dedicate, what I'm going to send my men into my personal storehouse way back on the other side of the mountain. He said, what I'm going to dedicate is from my personal treasury. It's not going to be for the building of the house of God, but it is going to be for the maintaining of the house of God. He said, what I'm going to give is not for when the building is built. But David had a foresight. But when the time of the wear and the decay comes upon this temple, that thing that's going to look shiny and new, one day there's going to be decay, and one day there's going to be wear, and one day birds are going to mess on it, and one day bullets are going to fly by it. He says, I want you then to go to where my stuff is and get the spoils that I have accumulated in battle to maintain this house. Let me ask you, where do you think David got all the spoils? David got the spoils in the many battles he had fought in his lifetime. Amen. He had laid up some nails and he laid up some roofing and he nailed up some curtains. And what he was doing is he was laying it up to maintain the house for when it was needed. So when I look up the word maintain in the Hebrew term, it says this. It means to repair, it means to strengthen, and it means to keep in a pristine condition. I'm really going somewhere tonight, amen? So let me ask you this. Where is God's temple today? Where is the temple of God today? That's right. We are the temple of God. We're going to transition. We're not going to talk about a structure. We're going to talk about how does this scripture mean to us, the temple of God. It is his people. It is you sitting in the pew tonight. It is you who made an effort to come out on a 5 o'clock cold service to see what God has in store for you. You are the temple of God. Amen. Paul says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but just like Israel did from the battles, God is still maintaining his temples. Through the spoils that are gained in the battles that you're facing tonight, through the battles that you faced yesterday, and somebody's got to get this in their spirit. I'm in it for the spoils. Amen? Amen. God is not allowing you to be in a battle just to see you fight. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. A married couple needs to hear this tonight. You are not arguing. You are not having those marital issues just because God wants to see you battle. That's a lie from Satan himself. He didn't want to see you just be in a fight. He said in the battles, but it's down the road, this temple, you and me are going to need some repair from time to time. And we have to know that through every battle, God is laying up riches and resources for us in the spirit realm. If we could take our veils off of our eyes and really see what's going on, I believe that many of us would not realize the stockpile that you have. There's a treasury of goods from our warfare. Amen. And if you don't have anything to reach back into, folks, if you don't, I don't know if you've raised a teenager yet, but if you don't have anything to reach back into from the years before a teenager, when they start their rebellion and when they start their smart mouth, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to maintain your temper. You're going to want to give up. You're going to give in. But I'm telling you, when hope is deferred, I'm telling you, if you've got something to reach back into, when the winds of health blow against your home, you're going to have something to reach back into. Amen? Amen. If you don't have anything to reach back into, if you don't have a storehouse of different resources to use, then your house will go into despair. Have you ever seen anybody go through that? Have you? And the Lord said, I will allow you to go through spiritual conflict so that when you come out of the battle, you just don't come out scarred and bloody. Come on, I've seen too many people walking around with scars and blood all over them, but that is not the will of God. They give up right there. But God says this, that I don't want you to come out just bloody. I don't want you to come out scarred. He's saying, I'm glad that you're a survivor, and that we're saying, I'm glad that I made it, and I'm glad I'm victorious. But instead, that you come out with some loot and you come out with some spoils. Amen. Some of you are going through things right now. I already identified there's some marriage issues in this house. There's some marriage issues in this house, and you become a place that you don't know if you're going to make it or not. But I'm telling you, you hold on tonight. You hold on, because God is going to give you some spoils out of that battle tonight. There's some things you're going through, and you may be in a battle, and that there's some things in your life that you may have had stolen. But if we could only see past the heartache, if we could only see past us and how we feel, and if we could only see past what's going on and the brokenness and the pain, and some of us with diseases in our body, and if we could see into the spirit realm, God wants you to be able to come out. And it's true, you might walk with a limp. You don't understand it and you don't see it because I have a pretty purple dress on. But I'm telling you, if you could see in the spirit realm, I don't walk like a straight woman. I don't walk like an erect woman, I walk with a limp, but it's okay. I'll live for the things that I gained. I'll live for the things that I've been through. I'll live because of the things that I know I can go through. If that's what it took to go through the battle, I don't care to limp. Amen. It's not just so that you're in the battle. You may have to come out with a limp, and you may have a few bruises, but you will come out of that place. And I believe that one day you're going to turn around and you're going to look behind you and you say, my Lord, I didn't even realize I'm pulling a trailer of loot. I'm pulling a trailer of resources. I'm pulling a trailer of something I can give to somebody else. It's not about me anymore. If it had only been about me, I wouldn't have made it, but God let me go through it for somebody else. Hallelujah. For somebody else. That's the mindset that we ought to get. I'm so sick of self, are y'all? I'm so tired of hearing about I, me, and me. I'm telling you, we got to get focused on other people. Why am I going through it? Could it be for somebody else? Amen. I've come to tell somebody that God has a purpose for your battle in this house. In Samuel chapter 30, there's a story of the David and the Amalekites, and many of us know the story. But while David was out from Ziklag, Ziklag was where his life was. Ziklag was where his wife and his children were. It's all of his stuff. And while he was out, the Amalekites came and they took everything that David had, all of his family, all of his wives, and all of his belongings. And the word comes back to David what had happened. So David does what? He went out to battle. And in verse 17, it says, and David smote them from twilight even until evening of the next day. And they escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Verse 18 says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Verse 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drove before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. How many's heard that story before? Are you bored? David went in, and not only did he get back what the enemy stole, he got back his wives. And the Bible said that David spoiled the enemy. I hope you're getting the picture tonight. You've got to get this, because part of the reason that the Amalekites went after Ziklag and took the women, it was a strategic plan of the enemy. It was because the devil wanted the seed of Christ. It's because somewhere down the line, they remembered a prophet said that Jesus would come out of the seed of David. And if I can take the wives away, I can stop David's seed from being deposited. Friend, this is it. Part of the reason, let me tell you something, part of the reason that you're going through the battles that you're going through is because hell is after the seed of God in you. Amen. There's some things that God even said in the beginning of the service. There are some things that you think are insignificant. There are some gifts that you are not operating in, but in your bosom, in your inner being, God put it in you before you were born. It may not have rose up yet, but I'm telling you, as much as it is the truth, the enemy knows your power. The enemy knows what you possess. And he's saying, if I can take them out in a battle, if I can take them out in disappointment, if I can take them out in hurt, I'll destroy them. But not only will I destroy them, I'll destroy the next generation that comes up here and bangs on the drums. I'll destroy the next generation that comes and worships the Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you, there's a reason for your battle. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about you. Amen. You're going to have to expect battles. Oh, why you got to preach that message? You're going to have to expect battles. And the enemy comes against the things that in people that makes him nervous in the kingdom of God. And somebody here needs to hear me in this house, that you've been willing and you've been thinking, you've been contemplating throwing in the towel. And you can say, okay, Satan, you win. But I'm telling you this, you cannot give up this hour. It is a vital hour. You cannot give up your fight. You cannot give up your passion. You cannot lay it down. Somebody hear that in the house. Somebody needs to do this, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the bill says, no matter what the diagnosis says. I'm going to stand back and I'm going to plant my feet. I'm going to square my shoulders back and say, I may not understand. I might walk out of here and I still may not understand. I don't know when it's going to end, but I say, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. You stand tonight in that battle. Stand in that battle, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This battle, here we're going to take a turn. This battle wasn't because David was not in the will of God. The enemy will lie to us, folks. The devil says, you're out of the will of God. That's why you're facing these battles. You heard that? You've messed up. That's why you're in these battles. But sometimes the battle occurs when you're in the very perfect will of God. How many knows that, Pastor? I can't tell you the many battles in the very will of God. That's when the devil is afraid of you the most. That's when you're prayed up, you see. That's when you take and you get the kids to bed and you go to prayer. That's when you can come and you can declare boldly, declaring that your giants will fall, that they will not dominate in your life, that the sound that you hear from them will become mute. That's when you can stand when you're all by yourself in the middle of a parking lot, don't know what you're facing, but you can say, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of mine enemies. I'm telling you, that's when the enemy will come. I know it's a shocker. this ain't the message you normally hear, is it, about a battle? But I'm telling you, it's the truth. You ought to expect on a Sunday morning that everything's going to go wrong, right? How many knows that to be the truth? You ought to expect when you call a meeting like this that somebody's going to talk about you. But I've come to tell you as a mandate of God, do not despise the battles and begin to say, I'm in it for the spoils. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say that tonight. I'm in it for the spoils. David, I'm almost done. Don't get worried. David was in the will of God. And this was not about him being tested. See, I hear it. I'm a pastor's wife. I pastor over 120 women. Thank God he's taught me how to love them. I really do. But so many people think they're in a battle because they're being tested. This was about God saying to David, I want to give you some stuff. Think about it. I want to give you some stuff. And this might be the only way you're going to receive it. Somebody needs to hear that. My friends from Austin, Indiana, I don't know what you all are going through, but this battle that you're in, God is wanting to bring you into a new level, a new place. There's some things you've been lacking, some things that you've needed, some things that you have not possessed. This battle is for you to gain some spoils. Don't despise the battle in the name of Jesus. Walk into this battle with a new mindset. You know, there's a battle that you have not faced that you're getting ready to walk into. Don't be afraid about it. But understand that it's not for the testing, it's for the blessing. Can you receive that tonight? It's not for the testing, it's for the blessing. It doesn't matter how it feels. It's not for the testing, it's for the blessing. It doesn't matter what you're going to have to go through in a three-month time. It's not going to be about the testing, but it's going to be about the blessing. 3 months is going to feel like 3 years to you. But after that certain amount of time, in 3 months, there's going to be a supernatural turnaround. Mark this date down today. Contact me in 3 months and let me know what happened in this battle and what you come out with in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all, stand up. Can I interrupt the service for just a minute? Stand up. Do you all know these people? They came to be in service with you all tonight. That's called community. Let's raise our hands in their direction. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, right now, I call forth this Holy Ghost interruption with purpose, Jesus. God, you know the mandated purpose over your people. God, over this congregation of your people, Father, we unselfishly tonight come with a word from God that says, thank you, Jesus, that you called them to this place, Father. God, I thank you, God, that you're equipping them even now as they stand here tonight, because some of you faced hell to get here tonight. Some of you were really up some things, some scheduling, and some people that said, why do you have to go tonight? But I thank God that you made the effort to be here tonight, because God is saying unto you, hold on, for the battle is mine. Be strong in me. When you're weak, I will make you strong. Tonight, we bless them in the name of Jesus. We come as a community of believers from Berea, Kentucky, from Columbus, Indiana, to say that we will lift you up. We will pray for you. We will consider you in our prayer time. And for the glory of the Lord to reign and rule over Austin, Indiana, for the things that he's called you to do, the outreach ministry you're about to walk into, I speak a blessing over that in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. David was in the will of God. This was not about him being tested. This was about God saying, I want to give you some stuff. Somebody just needed to hear that tonight, right? And doesn't the scripture say that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope? Doesn't it say that? Folks, hope is a resource. How many know somebody that's been hopeless? Let me tell you, hope is a resource. Hope is a spoil of the very tribulation that you've gone through. Hope is some loot from your tribulation. Amen. And sometimes the enemy thinks he's destroying you. You know what I'm talking about. But what he doesn't realize is that he's blessing you. And I've come to tell you, there is a spoil and some loot coming to your life here tonight. Amen. Amen. Are you getting the picture? Now that I'm almost finished, are you getting the picture? Amen. Are you beginning to understand there is a reason for your present battle? There's a reason that God is allowing you to battle so that you can maintain the temple of God. And I get it. I understand that not every one of you in this room are really with me tonight. I get that. But not everybody in this room is in a battle tonight. But I'm telling you, you're going to face one in the days to come. So you might as well get this message under your belt and remember it. Get you a tape when you get in it if you got to. Amen. But somebody in this house can say that those in battle, this is a rhema word unto you. This is a rhema word that has been brought into your atmosphere tonight. Because if your child is sick today, this is a rhema word. If your husband is talking about leaving you, this is a rhema word. If you left the doctor's office last week and they're telling you about a diagnosis that you never thought you would have to deal with, this is a rhema word for you tonight. And I'm going to tell you that the Lord has something to say. As I began to listen to the Lord, I began to write down, and he said, the Lord says, you need some spoils to maintain the temple. The stuff you're going through today will be what gives you the spoils in the kingdom of God. These spoils are for maintaining you. The Lord says unto you in this house, the battle will bring you into a deeper place of prayer, a deeper place of fasting. You will seek my face, and there will be a level of dependency unlike you have never known before. He says the spoils are your reward. I put a high volume. I put a high value on the spoils. Do you not remember Achan? No man can touch what I have marked as yours, for I have never left the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. You did not quit. You did not give up. Because of your perseverance, not only are you healed, not only are you redeemed, not only are you vindicated, but I will set you up a storehouse of faith, of mercy, of provision, of wisdom, of insight for you to maintain the temple that I have set upon this earth for my glory, to be used in the last days as a testimony of my faithfulness. And he says, I charge you this day. I charge you this day to maintain the temple. Corruption is coming to destroy in these last days. Only those built upon a firm foundation, do you hear me tonight? Only those that are built upon a firm foundation will stand. He said, be like Nehemiah with a trowel in one hand and the word in the other for the building. Maintain and build up, for whatever can be shaken, he said, it will be shaken. I send forth my word, says God, unto you now, as a word of preparation and a word of revelation. And God is saying in this hour, I'm putting you through what you're going through because I need to maintain your temple. He says, days are here and now. Days are here and now. He said, the winds of the world will blow. There is a wind from heaven coming across this nation. It says it will disrupt the plan of Satan. Foundations will be shaken. Not only will the earth tremble and shake, not only will the earth tremble and shake, but he says that who have set themselves against me, I am the I am, and I will show myself strong and mighty, just like I allowed my children to snatch in the tents. So shall I set you in the midst of the enemy to snatch and seize what has been stolen. I am a redeeming God. I keep my word, and it is settled in heaven. To God be the glory. Did you hear that word? Woo. Hallelujah.
you. But when the God of the universe says a word like that, I got to understand that he's a God in control. I got to understand that no matter what I face, there's a God that's got his hand upon my need. There's a God that's got his hand over my battle. There's a God that's got his hand over my children, over my finances. In the name of Jesus, thank God. Am I the only one excited? Come on, let's thank God in this house. Whew. I feel like virtue just went out of my body. Thank you, Jesus. I'm almost finished, and I want to close with just a few things. The deal is that if we didn't, my God, that word, powerful, strong, and mighty. Powerful, strong, and mighty. The deal is if we didn't have conflict, and if we didn't have pressure, if we didn't have trials and battles, we would become a passive people. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord knows that decay would sit into your temple and it would start to ruin. And I could go into that, but I'm not going to. But I've come to challenge you. Don't let the enemy take the fight out of you. Don't you dare. I'll ask Sister Donna and I'll call Pastor Andy and I'll say, can I please come back and see how they're doing? Don't you dare lay down in this battle. The Lord gave a word about what he wants to do in this house. And you can't lay down this battle. I've seen it. I've been a preacher's kid. Am I taking too long? I've been a preacher's kid all of my life. My daddy was never home. He was out winning the world. He was never home on Easter. He was winning the world. He was never home on Christmas. He was winning the world. But I got to be known to know many, many powerful men of God over my years. And I've seen so many people become disappointed in battle and they become tired in the fight and they become weary in well-doing. Don't ever think that your pastors don't get tired and don't get weary. Don't ever think that they got their feet dangling off the end of this world. Don't ever think because they show up with a smile on their face and a hallelujah in their step that they're not going through battles. You don't know the hell that they're waging behind closed doors. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the secrets that they're keeping. You don't know the financial burdens that they're bearing. I've seen pastors quit and I've seen suicides take place and I've been seeing people become bitter and it seems like it's the ongoing message that God is putting in me and I'm like, God, can I not preach nothing else? Can I not preach people happy? But I come to bind up the brokenhearted. It's because they leave the fight. Because why? Because when they face the battle, they don't have anything to come back to and pull out as a resource to get them through the maintaining of their temple. They threw away their treasure when they walked away from the battle. And let me testify the truth of this message, and I hate to say it over again, and I ask my girls, do you get tired of my testimony? Do you get tired of my testimony? Because how can I have the audacity to stand up here with the power of God that I feel tonight and preach a message into a bunch of strangers that I really don't know? How do I know what I'm talking about? Have you even asked that? Come on, because I know you got to judge and you got to look up and down. How does she even know what she's talking about? Let me tell you, God let me go through some conflicts because my house was in decay, because my foundation was messed up from church hurt. How many's ever known anything about church hurt? That's why some of you have relocated here. This has been a mending place, a healing place, a hospital for the wounded. You've been loved, you've been accepted, and you've been rejected so much that you've had church hurt and you gave it one more shot. This is your last shot, some of you say, that you sit in this pew. If it don't work out at this church, I ain't going back to church nowhere else. So that puts pressure on these pastors to have to love you a little bit harder. You become needy people, and you needed some things, but they've been resilient and able to love you the way you need to be loved. Well, that was free. That was free. But I've become through church hurt because, number one, I was a preacher's kid, then I was a pastor's wife, and then the personal loss of my own and the pain of heartache. And I have known the battle of depression. How many has ever gone through depression in this room? I've known the battle of depression so severe that I would put my kids in the car with their dad, and I would shut the door, and I could barely turn around, and I would fall on my floor and crawl back to my bed. And I would stay in my bed all day long until the kids got home and I knew I had to put a face back on. I was no good for nobody. I was going through the motions because I was in a state of depression. I didn't want to take pills, but I took them anyway. But I got into a state of depression and to the place that you may not believe it and you may not. And I hate to tell my story over and over, but how many is okay with it? I got to a place that one day I was working in the church. About 8 years ago, I was working as the church administrator, the office next to my husband. He was gone hunting, and I made a plan. Let me tell you, I made a plan, and I took that time on a Saturday morning. I wore a yellow hoodie and a pair of blue jeans. I remember what I had on. And I went to the church. Nobody was there. I checked the calendar. I made a plan. And I went to the church, and at my metal little desk, I wrote out 4 suicide cards. I wrote a goodbye card to my mom and dad, one to my husband and one to each of my girls. And I was leaving those cards on my desk. And I was going to leave that day and follow my plan. What gets you there? What gets a preacher's kid and a pastor's wife to that place to where you want to give it all up? It was the battle. It was the battle. I was sitting there about ready to do what I was planning to do, and I heard a commotion. I heard somebody knocking at my door, and I got mad. I thought, how dare somebody try to get in my office? But I made sure that my office and my husband's office, who has a flow-through, was locked. And any minute then, in just a few minutes, here's what happened. A woman burst through my door, and she said, I don't know what you're planning to do, but the Lord sent me here to tell you to stop it. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know how she got through those doors to this day, but I'm here tonight with the very same message. Even though the battle has waged heavy, don't you give up. Amen. Don't you give up. Do you see what the enemy's plan was? If he had taken me out, I wouldn't stand before you today. Amen. If he had taken me out, I wouldn't be sharing this message with somebody in this room that needs it tonight. Amen. Let me finish this really quick and we're going to move on. I told you that I had dealt with that depression and suicide. And then when men would tell me, you'll never preach. You're a woman. You'll never preach. You need to sit down and be quiet. I'm telling you, when I stand before you today and I preach the word of God, this is a spoil from a battle. To stand here tonight is a spoil from the battle. Amen. I'm telling you, when God was doing in battle, I didn't realize what he was giving to me, but I didn't realize I was being strengthened, and I didn't know that I was being maintained, and I didn't know that I was having to go through the hurt so I could feel your hurt sitting in a congregation. But I'm telling you, I would do it all over again if somebody tonight doesn't throw in the towel, and somebody tonight gets the help from God that they need. Because I don't preach the same way that I preached 4 years ago. There's an urgency in my spirit, and many people will get behind these sacred holy desks, and they're full of entertainment, and they're full of jokes, and they're full of things that make you want to like them. I don't have time for that. There's an urgency in my spirit. There's a word of God that has to go forward in these last days. I don't have time to waste my time. I don't have time to waste your time. And I've come out of the battles with empathy for others, and I've come out of the battle with spoils of forgiveness, not just words that say, oh honey, I forgive you, but I'm going to talk about you behind your back. I'm going to tell you, the Lord says that tonight you're going to realize you're coming out of this with spoils. Amen. 4 years ago, the Lord said this, and this is something else I always say wherever I go. He said, tell everywhere you go. 4 years ago, he said, I'm sending forth a healing revival, one like you've never known before, one that cannot be measured by the days of the past. And I'm telling you, we have seen miracles after miracles after miracles. Tonight, I believe we're going to see a supernatural move of God, because God is doing exactly what his word said that he would do. He said, tell it everywhere you go. For those that will respond, I'll touch them. For those that will respond, I'll heal them. I'm telling you, tonight, God is going to move. But what happened when the Lord said that to me? There was an attack on my body. Little did I know, in weeks and months past that, I would be looking at diagnosis of cancer. I would be looking at diagnosis of literally doctors dumbfounded. They didn't know where it was, but it's in your body somewhere, surely. And the enemy got in my mind and he said, you're going to die. You're going to go preach about healing. You're going to preach about a healing revival. You're going to lay hands on people and see them recover. And then you're going to be a hypocrite and die. I'm telling you, what came out of that is this. I stand here tonight with a boldness to call out a disease as the Lord says it. What came out of that is I can say, Lord, you speak into my ear and I will do what you say to do. What came out of that tonight is I'm healed. There's no diseases in my body. There's nothing flowing in my veins in the name of Jesus. But had I not gone through the battle, I wouldn't stand here tonight and tell you. I know a God that can take over any diagnosis. I know a God that can heal your body. I know a God that can set your mind free. How many knows that tonight you're in it for the battle, but you're in it for the spoils? Hallelujah. Stand up all over this house in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I believe as the worship team comes, we're going to open up the altar service. And I want you to think for a moment about the stuff that you're going through. And for those of you who ain't going through nothing, what you've been through. And I want you to think for a minute how tough it is or how tough it was. Do I even have to make you think? Are you still with me? How tough it is or how tough it was. But I also want you to think about some things that's going to come out of this. Has that changed your way of thinking tonight? Let me prove it to you again. You see these three women that I have with me? It's not coincidental that they travel with me. It's not coincidental that they want to see what we get to see. People get up out of wheelchairs and walk. To God be the glory. People with stroke that weren't able to talk begin to talk. Glory, hallelujah. People with stage 4 breast cancer healed last week. 2 weeks ago, she said, Sister Dana, the test showed I had breast cancer, but you laid hands and you all prayed for me and I'm healed. The test came back. The doctors don't understand. These women would not miss what God is doing in these last days with the word of God over us. Because I'm telling you, Brenda McGuire, step out here. She already told you. She said, I had a brain aneurysm, but the doctor said you're a hopeless case. We're gonna lay you on the table. You might bleed out and you might die, but I'm telling you, she walks out of that battle with spoils being healed. She's delivered. She's set free. Her blood flows. It's a mystery. Barb, step out here in the name of Jesus. Come on, we're gonna get ready to have some healings in this house. This woman right here, may I? Come on, that woman and man in this house that I've already said unto you, you got marriage problems. You see this woman's hand that I hold right now. That was 10 years ago. That was 30 years ago. Her husband had an affair after affair after affair. It was not until this year that their man of God has come back. The house has been restored. There's no adultery. There's no fornication. There's forgiveness. There's love. This man of God is a warrior. This man of God is leading his house, and to God be the glory. I'm talking about, that's the spoils of the battle. Come here. This girl right here has been diagnosed with cancer 3 times. I know she's tiny, but she's powerful. She's had leukemia one time and diagnosed just last year with cancer. She's gone through chemotherapy two times. She's gone through radiation. She's had needle after needle put in her vein. Just last year, she got told, it looks like you got a spot again. What did we begin to do? We began to call upon the God that heals. We began to call upon a God that delivers. And today, she's got a clean bill of health. There's no cancer running through her body. She's got a clear bill of health. To God be the glory. You couldn't keep us down. You can't keep us from preaching the gospel. So if you're in this house tonight, you do wonderful, man. There's a powerful anointing upon you. If you're in the house tonight and you need something, first of all, let's go like this. Let's stick with the word tonight. You say, Sister Dana, I've been in the battle. That was me that you're talking about tonight. I want you to come on up to the altar. If that's you that says, I'm in the battle and I need to have help from God, come on, respond right now. That's me, Sister Dana.